I'll go ahead and give you the title for my sermon right off the start today. And it is, Cherish Your Liberty. Cherish Your Liberty. Over 200 years ago, the forefathers and mothers of our country left their families and their homeland of England and also other parts of Europe for a hope. A hope of something greater than what life gave them back in their homeland. They put all that they had in this life online. They knew they were leaving all of their physical possessions behind them. Their homes, their wealth. When they were coming here, there was no established commerce. Their wealth, their money, their homes, their professions, all of that was being left behind and had no value to the new land where they were traveling to. In some cases, they even left behind them their families. I'm sure with tearful farewells. They put everything that they had in life at risk for an ideal. They set it all behind them for an ideal that they believed in to the depth of their heart. They believed in it to their last breath. What's the definition for ideal? It means a concept of something in its absolute perfection. That's an ideal. Something in its absolute perfection. Another definition is one that is regarded as a standard or model of perfection or excellence. They were leaving their homeland for an ideal that was set in their mind. Countless men and women gave their all to establish and defend the foundations of this country. Gave everything that they had to establish the foundation of the United States of America. If they hadn't given it all, or if they weren't willing at least to give it all, or if they had just given a half-hearted effort in establishing the foundations of this country, that effort would have failed miserably a long time ago. Our foundation of who we are in this country would have been taken from us a long time ago. So what was it? What was the foundation that they fought and died for? What was the foundation that they left all of their physical possessions for? What did they cherish so deeply in their heart that made them willing to give their very family and everything that they owned, including some gave their own lives? What is that thing, that ideal? Well, it was liberty. Another word for liberty is freedom. They fought and gave their all for their desire to have liberty, to have freedom in their life, for themselves, but even more so for the vision that they had of their descendants. They knew that what they were getting ready to do could cost them their life. But they didn't want their offspring, their descendants, to live under brutality and tyranny that they lived under for so long. Their focus was for those that would follow them, for you and me. They set their hearts to acquire their dream of freedom from government oppression. Jesus Christ lived and died to be able to offer to each of us, and eventually to all of mankind, a real liberty, to offer real freedom, real spiritual liberty, which is far greater and of far more importance than physical liberty, physical freedom. Christ knew the value of liberty that he had to offer. He knew it to his core. Do we understand and value our liberty that we've received in Jesus Christ? Do we value it to the depth that our forefathers and foremothers felt their desire and appreciation for physical liberty and freedom? I hope we do. I hope we cherish our spiritual liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. I will make this statement, and it was true physically for our country today, and it's true for us spiritually today as we sit here on the first day of unleavened bread. What we don't cherish, we will lose. We can even make that very personal and say, what I don't cherish, I will lose. We can never forget that statement. Think about what you understand about American history. Think about all the suffering and the fighting against those that wanted to bring them back into tyranny. Think about what those men and women gave up. Gave up their lives, gave up their children, their own personal life. You can only do that because you cherish what you hold to be valuable. If you don't cherish it, you'll throw your hands up and say, okay, I've reached my limit, I give up. What we don't cherish, we will lose. Why did the American forefathers cherish liberty above all other things in their life? Because they witnessed and lived beneath the oppression of tyranny for so many years. They felt the pain. They saw the suffering that came under a tyrant. They didn't want their children to grow up with the same thing. When you experience the pain and misery of life beneath the thumb of a tyrant, you truly appreciate the value of freedom. Most likely, most of us take our freedom, our physical freedom, for granted. Because we haven't put our life on the line for it. It's come to us as a gift from our forefathers. I hope and I pray that we don't take our spiritual freedom and liberty just as lightly. Because we didn't hang on a cross and die for it like Jesus Christ did. He understands the value of liberty, spiritual liberty. We've all experienced the pain and suffering from sin. We understand what that is. As Mr. Dickey pointed out, we've all experienced that pain and suffering that comes with sin, depending upon our sin and how deeply involved we get in it. But it's quite simple. The formula for sin is quite simple. You sin, you suffer penalties for it, you suffer pain for it, and it brings a death penalty upon you. We've been, in our previous life, before baptism, held bondage to sin. That death was the tyrant that hung over our head that would never set us free. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. I want to read verses 8 through 11, and I would like to read those to you from the New Living Translation. Romans 6, verse 8 says, "And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him." Verse 10. "When he died once to break the power of sin." What is that power of sin? Death. He broke it. "But now that he lives, he lives for the glory of God." That's what Jesus Christ lives for now, to glorify God. And he does it through his church, working with each and every one of us. in the way that he does. Verse 11. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin. Do we grasp that as we're into the days of unleavened bread? Do we grasp the fact that Jesus Christ has unleavened us? Has removed sin from us? And has broken the power of the penalty of sin? And made us alive to God through Christ Jesus. That's what Jesus Christ has done. That's the freedom that we've received. That's our liberty. What's explained there in those four verses of Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 11. But not everyone has cherished their liberty down through time. By contrast, the Israelites were blind to the value of their liberty. They didn't understand it. They didn't appreciate it. And often they desired to return to their oppression, to return to Egypt, where they were beaten and held in slavery. They wanted to return to that after Jesus Christ freed them from their physical slavery. Hopefully we don't do that, spiritually speaking, today in God's church. Hopefully we don't sit back and think about our past life and the things we did. Some of them could have been very enjoyable and think, you know, boy, I could have a lot of fun if. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16, verse 2. Exodus chapter 16. We'll read verses 2 and 3. It says, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat. In other words, they had so much that they could enjoy. And when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They're saying, we're just miserable. And when we look back on Egypt, we had it made. We sat by pots of meat, big pots of stew, and had our bellies full. Turn with me in Philippians chapter 3. If you'd like to put another scripture in your notes, we won't turn there. Numbers chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. Numbers chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. It's kind of a parallel scripture to what we just read. But I want to look at what's stated here by Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Who's he talking about? Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. See, remember what the Israelites, what we just read about them? Their God was their belly. Oh, remember when we used to sit and have the big pots of stew? Oh, I wish we could have been back in Egypt. Whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame. Who set their minds on earthly things. Our physical forefathers that left the countries of Europe didn't have their minds set on physical things. They wanted freedom and liberty for their descendants, for those that would come after them, and for their children. I want to go through a series of points now that will help us to understand the importance of liberty. The first point is, With liberty comes responsibility. With liberty comes responsibility. Those that cherish liberty must uphold their responsibility to liberty. If you cherish and you love your liberty in Jesus Christ and God the Father, you must uphold your responsibility. Responsibility comes with that liberty. It's not the message that we hear from Christianity today, who is all you have to do is believe. There's nothing else required of you. Just believe in Jesus Christ. I want to read a quote from George Bernard Shaw. From George Bernard Shaw, he says, "Liberty means responsibility. That is why most men dread it." Liberty means responsibility. That's why most men dread it. Doesn't that really cut to the heart of those that casually put liberty aside, that casually set their freedom aside? It's happening, I believe, my personal belief, in our country today. You sit and watch the news and you can see the attack going on in this country against our freedoms. More and more every day, in a variety of ways, our freedom and our liberty in the United States is under attack. So what is the responsibility that goes with liberty? It's one thing to say, well, that's kind of a vague statement, that responsibility goes with liberty. But there is. Physically, in this country, we are a land of liberty, a land of freedom, and responsibility goes with it. What are the laws that are associated with liberty? Our responsibility in this country is to live by, uphold, and defend the very laws that bestow liberty upon us. They bestow freedom upon us. There are laws that protect that freedom, that protect our liberty. So what are those laws that are associated with liberty? In the United States, it's our Constitution. Our Constitution is designed and set up specifically to protect our freedom and our liberty. That's the whole point of the Constitution. They didn't establish freedom and liberty in the United States and these wise men sit around and say, well, we probably ought to write a document that sounds really good. No, they set our Constitution in this country, a set of laws that said this is what will happen so that liberty is maintained. And the responsibility as American citizens of all of us is to protect those laws, to maintain our liberty, to live by them, to uphold them, to defend the very laws that bestow liberty and freedom upon us all. I want to read the preamble to the Constitution. If you would, listen closely to these words. We've all heard them in the past. It says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and listen to this, and to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." See, it describes the whole purpose of the Constitution in that statement is to secure the blessings of liberty, to make sure that our liberty doesn't go by the wayside. Our Constitution is the law that secures and protects our freedom as American citizens. But what about our spiritual liberty? What about our freedom through Jesus Christ? How is that established and protected in our life? What did God set up and Jesus Christ set up to protect that liberty that each of us enjoy? You see, our spiritual liberty and our freedom requires great responsibility as well. Great responsibility. And that responsibility is to live by and uphold and defend the laws that keep us spiritually free. God's laws must be fully established in our heart. Fully established. These laws are God's commands and truth. If we live by them, we are free. If we break God's laws and cast them aside carelessly, we are brought back under tyranny, back under the penalty of death, the penalty of sin, which is death. John chapter 8, verse 31, if you would turn there. John chapter 8, beginning of verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth." If you abide in God's word, you shall know the truth. And what does that truth do for you? It sets you free. It gives you liberty. If you abide by the laws of God, it gives you freedom. If you cherish the laws of God, if you hold them near and dear to your heart, it gives you freedom in your life. Verse 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Words from Jesus Christ. He said, if I've set you free, and that is our promise at baptism. Our promise of baptism is from God the Father and Jesus Christ. And he said that if we repented, if we believe and have faith in Jesus Christ's sacrifice, and we have hands laid on us, and we have God's Holy Spirit in our life, we have been set free. The truth, God's laws, give us freedom. The Son is truth, and you know him, and he has set you free. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. You can jot that down in your notes if you like. I'll go ahead and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "For the Lord is the Spirit." The Lord, Jesus Christ, God the Father, is the Spirit. And whatever the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, and it's in you, and it's in me, there is freedom. If you have God's Spirit dwelling in you, you are free. God and Jesus Christ have given you liberty. These laws must be deeply established in our lives because of the tyrant. Satan is focused on destroying us and the freedom that comes from Jesus Christ. He knows you're set free. He wants to bring you back into bondage. That is his focus, to work on you and to break you down and to cause you to return to Egypt, to return to a lifestyle before you were set free. Our heart must be filled with the law of God. We must cherish it and hold it deeply. We must live up to the responsibility that comes with our freedom. And there's great responsibility on those that have been set free. We must live by, uphold, and defend the laws that establish and control our freedom. Psalms chapter 119, verse 45. Psalms 119, verse 45. David said that he walked in freedom, walked in liberty. But what was his proof, and why could he say that he walked in freedom? Well, we'll see it in verse 45. David said, "I will walk in freedom." Why? "For I have devoted myself to your commandments." David knew the connection between God's law and freedom. God's law isn't bondage to us. Jesus Christ said that if we have His Spirit, we are set free. And we know it because we obey His laws and His commandments. The laws of God were put in motion to keep you free, to keep you in obedience. They were granted to us by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If we compromise or disregard these laws, these truths, then we are in danger of losing our spiritual freedom. It's no different than if this country casts aside its laws, its constitution. We've lost our freedom. Everything that governs and controls our freedom in this country, if it's set aside, we as a country lose our liberty. There's no question about it. This is our responsibility, to secure the blessings of our spiritual liberty. That's what the focus was in the Constitution, to secure the blessings of physical liberty. We must establish God's laws of liberty in our life. The second point, defend liberty or be overcome by tyrants. Defend liberty or be overcome by tyrants. Anyone that hates liberty and freedom is, by definition, a tyrant. Tyrants hate liberty. They hate freedom. Tyrants love complete control and domination of another person. That's Satan. He wants complete control of you. He wanted complete control of God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's why he tried to ascend to God the Father's throne and was cast away. Our country's forefathers left oppression, and immediately their tyrant went after them, trying to conquer them and destroy the freedom that they had sought. The same thing happens to us at baptism. You become set free by Jesus Christ. Know full well that Satan knows it and he's coming after you to attack you. I'm going to quote from Thomas Paine. These men had incredible insight on the value and importance of liberty and freedom. Thomas Paine says, "Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigues of supporting it." Do you want to enjoy the blessings of your spiritual freedom? Then you must, like men, be ready to stand up and endure the fatigues of fighting for your freedom in your life given to you by Jesus Christ. Those that cherish liberty must always be ready to defend it every moment of every day, because you never know when it's going to come under attack. Our forefathers fought mightily to defend their liberty. When the attack comes, those that don't cherish liberty, and Satan knows, God the Father certainly knows your heart on whether you cherish the liberty that He's given you. But when the attack comes, those that don't cherish it, think about our own history in God's church when I say this statement. When the attack comes, those that don't cherish liberty, they sit passively by, as those that hate liberty try to destroy it line by line. It's happening in our country today. It happens in your life and my life today, that attack to try to do away with God's law in our life and in our mind and in our heart, line by line, trying to minimize it, saying it's, you can compromise here, you can compromise there. When attack comes, that those that don't cherish liberty sit passively by and let that attack happen. Satan is a tyrant, but he's not our tyrant. You see, when you're set free, you no longer have a tyrant over you. We're free of any tyrant over our life, free from that slavery, free from that beatings that come from that tyrant, free from the penalty of death But Satan is a tyrant. He's a tyrant over this world. He is our former tyrant. He hates liberty and all of those that live within it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. First Peter chapter 5, we'll read verses 8 and 9. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, you could also call him your tyrant, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's his focus. He wants to find those that are willing to sit by when attacked, and just let it happen. Well, our admonition is to be sober, be vigilant, be ready to fight the battle. Verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in this world, because really the world is still under Satan, still under that tyrant. They don't have the freedom that God and Jesus Christ has offered us at this time. One day they will. Tyrants hate liberty. They hate freedom because it's a direct threat to their power and control, which is the center of their thought process. Power and control. Our Declaration of Independence was set up as a safeguard from tyranny. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life and liberty. It's a right, a physical right to all of us. And the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. You see, even the Declaration of Independence focuses on that need to secure your liberty and your freedom in this country. A tyrant's mission is to destroy all government and the people within it and all those that cherish and value liberty. I'm going to read a quote from Ronald Reagan. He said, a troubled and afflicted mankind looks to us, pleading for us to keep our rendezvous with destiny, that we will uphold the principles of self-reliance, self-discipline, morality, and above all, responsible liberty for every individual, that we may become that shining city on a hill. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. God the Father and Jesus Christ call us to this same responsibility. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Jesus Christ referred to us as a light to the world, set up on a hill, for the whole world to see the blessings of spiritual freedom. Not that we are good or better than anybody else, because we're not. We all sin. We all have our faults. But we desire righteousness. We work towards it every day in our life. We cherish the laws of God. And we fight and defend and uphold them the best we can in our life. Spiritually speaking, we are, as Christ said, an example of freedom to this world, spiritual freedom. We should live as free men and women, happy, enjoying life, not trotted down, beaten down, without hope, mopey. We should be filled with enthusiasm and exuberance because we have God's Holy Spirit living in our life and we've been cleansed and unleavened. by Jesus Christ. We should be living as free men and women, fully understanding and appreciating our freedom, giving thanks for it every day. Freedom is a tremendous power to those that live within it. And just because you've been set free by Jesus Christ and God the Father doesn't mean that you're living it in your lifestyle, in the way you live. We burden ourselves down sometimes with too much care and concern. We beat ourselves down so much that we think there's no value to ourselves. That's not what God and Jesus Christ called us to. He wants us to live our life with enjoyment and enthusiasm and with a gusto, appreciating our freedom, keeping that in the forefront of your mind every day. You wake up every morning and you think about your spiritual freedom, that should give you a zeal of enthusiasm for the day, knowing that you don't have eternal death sitting on your shoulders. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Do not be entangled again with that yoke of bondage of your previous life, of looking back to where God brought you from. The third and final point is cherish your liberty or lose it. Cherish your liberty or lose it. If and when you compromise or disregard your liberty and freedom, you set yourself upon a path that is not reversible. A path of lost liberty is lost forever. A quote from Patrick Henry. Do you think Patrick Henry appreciated liberty? Listen to what he has to say here. "Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Can we say that spiritually speaking? Can we say that in our prayers to God the Father and Jesus Christ as we fall down on our knees to God's throne and say, "Let nothing else have value in my life but your liberty, your freedom. Give me the strength to shun all other temptations of value in my life." We don't have the time to go through it. But there's many scriptures, especially in the New Testament, where Jesus Christ said, there can be nothing set between you and your relationship with the Father. Nothing. Not husband, not wife, not children. Nothing can have more value than your relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. I'll just go ahead and read it to you. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart." Not 90%, not 99%. Not just when it's convenient for you, not just when life is easy. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind." You see, there's nothing left out. Your entire existence is to be focused around your love for God and Jesus Christ. David cherished the law of God. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 19, verse 7. Psalms chapter 19, we'll begin reading in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's the work of the law. You put the law to work in your life in terms of obedience, and it changes who you are. It converts you. Converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Testimony just means His commandments, His laws. They're sure. What are they sure about? They make the wise, make wise the simple. That's what it's done for you and I. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. See, that's the effect of a person that understands and appreciates their freedom. It causes your heart to rejoice, to start every day with renewed vigor and enthusiasm and praise to God. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. You think David appreciated the law of God? Listen to what he says, verse 10. More to be desired than they are than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. David doesn't sit there and contemplate about the laws of God and say, oh, this is so difficult and so hard. I can't stand doing all these commandments of God. He rejoiced in the law. He cherished his freedom. He cherished the law of God. Verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Do we see the reward of obedience to God? I hope we not only see it, I hope we feel it in our life. I hope we experience the reward of God every day in our life, because that is the way it's intended to be. God's law will transform your life, and it will keep you within your liberty that has been given to you by Jesus Christ. How important is the law of God? John chapter 14, verse 21. Jesus Christ is speaking here. John chapter 14, verse 21. Jesus Christ said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." It's just like a domino. One thing leads to the other. He goes on, he says, "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." You see, if you love the law of God, you love the Father. If you love the Father, he will love you. And Jesus Christ said that he loves you and that he will manifest himself to you. He will make you to understand who he is and what he is about and what his plan is. If we throw out the laws of God and we don't keep these days of unleavened bread, do we know who Jesus Christ is? Nope. Can't. This world threw out God's laws a long time ago. And when you throw out even the smallest of God's laws, you lose sight of who Jesus Christ truly is and what his plan is and what he's doing in your life. You lose sight of what spiritual freedom is, and you remove yourself from that spiritual freedom. These days of unleavened bread fully depict and picture our spiritual freedom. Freedom given to us by Jesus Christ and maintained by God's holy law. God's holy law maintains that freedom in our life. And it's being played out in our life every day. I wish you all the best through the rest of the days of unleavened bread, and I hope you have a great rest of this Sabbath day as well.